Well, good to see you all again this morning. Everybody doing well? I assume you're here. It's always good to be with you. We have been in the book of Philippians. We've been discovering what the everyday application of the Christ-filled life is. Boy, it's my desire for my life, for your life, to live as a Spirit-filled believer. Now, in our time together, we have looked at the person of Christ, and the pattern of Christ, the pursuit of Christ, and the peace of Christ. This morning, we're going to look at Christ, the power of our life. Next week, just so you'll know, we'll look at Christ, the provision of our life. Now, passage is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 and following. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, key phrase, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then a very familiar passage of Scripture. I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. The key verse for Christ being the power of your life is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The common complaint of the average Christian sitting in the average church is this: I can't. I can't control my temper. I can't control my jealousy. I can't kick this habit. I can't get rid of this bitterness. I can't tithe my income. I can't be a witness for Christ. I just can't. And the easiest phrase that rolls out of the mouth of a Christ follower is, I can't do it. However, the consistent cry of a Christ-filled believer is, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And when you think about it, that is an astounding statement that's made by Paul. He makes it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and under the inspiration of his life. That's how he backs it up. No other life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates the truth that I can do all things through Him. So there are four very simple things that I want you to see this morning. Pick up, ask God to apply it to your heart, your soul, your spirit, to help Christ be the power of your life. Number one, the sufficiency of this power. He says, I can do all things. Now, the word do is a very interesting word. It means to be full of health, to be vigorous. I remember visiting a man in the hospital, and he'd already had several surgeries, and I walked in, and I said, how you doing? And he said basically this: I'm just laying here waiting for St. Peter to come and take me home. And that's so sad. I mean, he's just laid there, helpless, filled with all of this inability. And yet, I know so many Christ followers who are just like that. They're just laying here. And they're filled with inability. They're not doing anything. They're just waiting on the Lord to come and to take them home. But I love what Paul says. He says, I am full of health. I have vigor. I have strength. I have power to do all and anything through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul understood that the power that the Lord Jesus Christ provides is sufficient and adequate for anything and all things that he would face. And I think it would be good this morning for you to underscore those two little words, all things. Because he doesn't say just the important things, but he says all things. Now, you do understand that this all things is the all things of the will of God. It's not the all things of your wishes or the all things of your ambitions or the all things of your needs. That is, whatever it is that God requires of you and wants you to be, he has given you the power, the strength, the ability, the vigor to do anything his will that he commands you to do. Now, this kind of power that Jesus Christ puts inside of you makes you, listen, sufficient to obey his will. You know this, very elementary principle. God will never ask you to do anything without giving you the power to do what he asks you to do. And every command of God is a promise from God. If God commands you to do something, then he'll also give you the power and the ability and the vigor to obey that command. And therefore, every command is a promise that God will enable you to keep that command. So when God commands you, let's say, to tithe, that's a promise from God that says, I can tithe. When God gives you a command that says, love those who despitefully use you, that's a command, a promise that God will give you the strength. When God commands you to be a witness, that's a promise that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God says, remember, you are to be my witnesses. That's a command from God, an imperative. If you say, I just can't witness, I can't do it, but God says you can, then you tell me who's lying, you or God. Now, the reason you think you can't witness or tithe or forgive is you haven't discovered the power that Paul discovered in his life. It's the power that made him sufficient for anything and everything that he faced. Now, folks, this excites me. This encourages me as I begin to think about it. I can do all things. I can do anything that God has planned for me to do. I remember second church we ever pastored, Clearview Baptist Church, a mission of First Baptist Broken Arrow. And I had no clue on how to be a mission pastor. Zero. And the church had already poured the foundation. They already had the frame up. And I remember going down on Saturday nights and walking through the auditorium. And I would look up through the rafters and I would say, God, if you don't come down and help me, then we're done. Because I don't have a clue. And God will remember, would remind me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if God wants you to teach a Sunday school class, don't despair. Don't worry. Don't fret. Paul says, you can do anything God's will commands you to do because he will make you sufficient to do that. So there is the sufficiency of this power. I can do it. I have the spiritual health. I have the spiritual vigor to do it. Number two, the scope of this power. What are the all things that Paul is talking about? I mean, when you talk about the power that Christ brings into a person's life, what is it that registers in your mind? What mental picture appears when you begin to think of the purpose and the use of this power? Every time I ever saw Billy Graham give an invitation after that oh so simple gospel message, if you watch him, he would stand there with his hands folded, so nonchalant, and the people would just flood down the aisle, and I'd say to myself, what power? Now, all of us would agree that you've got to have power to preach in the stadium to 65,000 plus people. But I've discovered something. As I've researched the New Testament about the power that makes us as Christ followers sufficient, that the power is not just reserved for the Christ follower who preaches before a great multitude of people. This power is available to us in the mundane, practical, everyday things of life. Listen again. Paul says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, did you catch the sense of what Paul just said? He didn't say, hey, did you see all the people that I won to Christ? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say, did you hear about the citywide revival that I had at Ephesus? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Did you hear about the dead man that I raised from the grave? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you hear about those seven demons that I cast out? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what did he say? He said, did you know that I was in need? I was dead broke. I was hungry, but I learned to be content about it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Do you see how practical this power is in the mundane, everyday living? And the scope, the reach of the power that Christ infuses into you and infuses into me this morning is good for morning and night. From the sacred to the secular, from the religious to the not so religious, things about your life. Now, Paul says two things about this scope of power that I like. The scope has the power to detach you from outward circumstances. Paul says, if I'm abounding, guess what? Jesus is still Lord. If I have a full stomach, guess what? Jesus is still Lord. If I am at the point of starvation, guess what? Jesus is still Lord. If I'm in prison, guess what? Jesus is still Lord. Paul did not allow the outward circumstances or physical surroundings to dictate his spiritual temperature. And Paul had learned a great secret. The power that Jesus gave him, it freed him from reacting to these outward circumstances that come into our life. Second, the scope of this power is there to delight us during objectionable circumstances. Now, the word content means to be satisfied, to be full, to be adequate. Paul says, you know what? I am always satisfied. I'm always delighted. I'm always excited. I'm always content. I'm always full. Don't you hate being around people like that? They're just always, always excited. And the power that Jesus Christ gives to us enables us to detach ourselves from outward circumstances, but not only that, to delight ourselves during objectionable circumstances. And if and when you come to that place where outward circumstances don't dictate your spiritual temperature, you'll find yourself always being on that even spiritual temperature that ought to characterize your life as a spirit-filled Christ follower. And Paul was at this place in his life so he could say, no matter where I am, no matter what comes my way, the circumstance, the situations, the problems, Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter where I am, no matter what I do, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, if you read through Philippians, you'll discover that Paul discovered he could do all things. He said, when everything is good, when you have a full stomach, money in the bank, Jesus is Lord. When things are bad, when your home's crumbling physically or domestically, when your children are rebelling, when there's sickness or health, poverty or wealth, good days, bad days, you know what? Listen, Jesus is
the same.
He hadn't changed one iota. He still loves you. He is still Lord. He is still in control of the situation. And Paul wants you to learn that contentment comes from knowing that you are sufficient and adequate in every present situation. Now, let me explain that by sharing a time in my life when contentment was put to the test in my life. You don't know me, but if you really knew me, you would know I don't know anything about cars. Believe me, folks. I don't know what you know, but I know this about what you know. You know more about cars than I know. If you were to stick a gun to my head and say, find the starter, I'd look at you and say, just shoot me. Now, the fact that you're chuckling at that, that you think that I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I don't know anything about cars, and I'm proud of that. I don't plan about knowing anything about cars. My greatest desire in life is not to know where the starter is. So when the car breaks down, doesn't do what it's supposed to do, designed to do, I get really frustrated. I get into a spirit of discontent because I have no idea what to do in that situation. Now, I can tell you what I've done in past situations. Roseanne and I, one year, were traveling from Arkansas to Oklahoma in a 1971 Chevy Vega. Let you know what kind of car it was. They don't even make it anymore. And just outside of Oklahoma City, it quit. We pulled over. Now, you have to understand, Rosanna knows that I know nothing about a car. I know so little about a car that I can't even snow her into thinking I know about a car. So I pop the hood. I get out. I lift the hood. I walk to this side of the car, to the front of the car, to this side of the car. I look at her and I smile and I say, I found the engine. And then I reached in and I began to jiggle some wires over here and jiggle some wires back here and jiggle some wires over there. And I closed the hood and I got in the car and I turned the key on and it started. And she was impressed. And I went about to tell her that was just plain dumb luck. We drove down the road for several miles. It quit again. Now I have enough self-confidence in myself that I think if I did something one time, I can do it another time. So, man, with confidence, I hop out. I pop the hood. I lift it up. I jiggle some wires here, jiggle some wires over there, jiggle some wires I didn't jiggle, and I get in and turn it on, and it doesn't start. It's not about to start. I mean, all the jiggling was up, okay? The bottom line is this: I knew nothing about that car. And I was in a situation of discontentment. Why? Because I had no clue how to fix it. But Paul would say the test of contentment is feeling adequate with the situation at hand. I was not content because I knew I could not fix the situation. I failed the test. But listen. You come to me with a broken life, a broken marriage, some spiritual situation, and I can begin to share the scriptures and some principles and application of the Word of God, and I feel totally content in those situations because I know what to do to fix those situations. And Paul is simply reminding us that whatever obstacle we're facing, whatever limitations that we're living with, whatever chronic condition is wearing you down, whatever has smashed your dreams, whatever factors or circumstances of life have pushed you under, and you find yourself in the middle of it saying, I can't, you know what? You're failing to draw on the unlimited resources that Christ, by his loving kindness, has made available to you. So let me ask you, dear people of Bellevue Baptist, have you learned to be content? Did you know that as I walk around at at Trinity Baptist Church, where I pastored for 27 years. We still attend there. On Sunday mornings, I can look at everybody that I meet, and I can see two things. I can see contentment, and I can see discontentment and disappointment on their faces. I can look at people and know something about their outward circumstances by the lines in their face, or the posture of their body, or the tone of their voice. Now, Paul learned, listen, he learned to be content. How do I know that? Well, remember, Paul was an aggressive soul winner, a church planter. And it wouldn't be natural for him to be content where he was confined in prison, because prison kept him from reaching the goal. So while he's sitting in that cell, not doing what he knows is the will of God for his life, knowing what he ought to be doing out there, he says, I have learned where I am sitting right here in this dark, dungy place to be content. So that begs the question, because I know that's what you're thinking. How do you learn to be content? How do you start? Well, you first have to learn how to be happy and content. Listen. With yourself. If you're sitting around and you're waiting for your husband or your wife or children or success or money or the church or anything else to make you content, anything else to make you happy, you're never going to be content or happy until you learn how to be content and happy with yourself. That's where you start the learning process. Now, please listen very carefully. You don't learn to be content by moving to another town. You don't learn to be content by moving to another church or getting another job or having another baby or moving into another house. You first of all learn to be content with yourself. Who am I? I'm a child of the King. Man, I'm full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a future. I have a direction. I'm no longer alienated from God. I'm in the family of God. I'm content with who I am. You see, too many people I meet, they have a someone sickness. They go around saying, if I could just marry him, if I could just marry her, if I could just get married, I'd be happy. If I could have them as my friend, then I would be happy. And they're always looking for someone to bring contentment to their life. And as you watch them, what they do is they go from person to person, relationship to relationship, trying to find someone that's going to make them happy, and they never find it. And the reason is people can't make you content. Other people have what I call a destination disease. They believe if they could get to a certain place, a new state, a new street, a new job, they'd be happy. They'd be content. There's no such thing as going from one place to another place and finding happiness and contentment in the Lord. I mean, if you're not content in Louisiana, you're not going to be content in Texas. If you're not content in Texas, you won't be content in Florida. I think that great philosopher Yogi Berra said it best. No matter where you are, there you are. Okay? Now, I'm a people person. And as a people person, one of the greatest joys in my life is watching the people that I come in contact with, the people that I used to pastor, develop in the Lord. And I can come to church at Trinity Baptist Church, and I see certain people, and I know their lives have been changed, and it's wonderful. But there are also people there. And it's the downside of being a people person. When you live close to people, you also live close to reality. And you see and you deal with problems every day. Not necessarily your own problems. problems out there. Almost every day of my life, every week of my life, I encounter some problem. Now, I've had to learn to be content in problems because, as a people person, people come to you. And there is not a day that goes by, not a week that goes by, that I don't hear from somebody who has a hurt or a sickness or a worry or a concern or a problem. It constantly happens. It just comes with the territory of being a people person. And so they come. Now, I tell you, out of all the blessings of last week, I encountered some problems that I didn't know about and wasn't praying about the week before. And I can guarantee you, when I go to bed tonight, some of those problems and some of the lives of some of those people won't be solved. And when I wake up and go through next week, you know what? There's going to be some new situations that come my way. Bottom line is, I got problems, you got problems, all God's people got problems, right? And if I allowed any or all of those situations to get the best of me, if I took my eyes off of Jesus and focused on all of those little minnows that I call them, that swim around and they want to nip at you all the time, or that great big shark that's circling around with those problems wanting to take a big bite out of you, I'd never know contentment. So here's what I'm learning. I'm learning not that I'm going to be exempt from problems, because, folks, I'm not. They're going to come, mine or somebody else's. But I've learned that when they come, I need to face them as quickly and as calmly and as effectively as I can. And I've learned that even though I don't like problems, I don't. If you like problems, you got problems, okay? Even though I don't like problems, I can still be content and rejoice even when I am surrounded by problems. You know why? Sure you do. I've been telling you for 20 minutes. I can do what things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. All of us have problems. Paul had problems. But Paul said, while I'm in prison, while I'm in chains, while I'm in the dungeon, while I want to be out there telling people about Jesus and growing churches, I have learned that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is real and is precious and is close to me when I'm in prison as he is when I'm preaching on Mars Hill. Contentment is not liking your problems. Contentment is feeling adequate through the grace and the resources of Jesus Christ to overcome those problems. Now catch that word, overcome. Because a lot of times you may not be solving the problem, but you can be overcome the problem. Not be under it, but be over it. It's still there. And still be adequate. Still be content. And I'm learning to be content because I understand that contentment doesn't start with you. It starts with me. It doesn't start with me. It starts with you. So you can't look around to anyone else to teach you this lesson. You have to start with yourself. Paul learned to be the same, to be adequate, to be independent of outward circumstances. Now, obviously, it takes a lot of power to preach to 65,000 plus people. But folks, I'm here to remind you this morning. It takes a lot more power to be content in the everyday circumstances that you and I face in our lives. It takes a lot of power to detach yourself from outward circumstances, to delight yourself in objectionable circumstances. So there is the sufficiency of the power. There is the scope of the power. Number three, there is the source of this power. I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I'm glad that God prompted Paul to write, I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me. Because as you're reading verses 10, 11, and 12, it sounds like Paul's a little ego-centered. It sounds like Paul is saying, I have learned a secret. Look at what I've done. So God had Paul insert verse 13, just to make certain, so that we would know that he knew the sufficiency, the secret of his life didn't come from himself. Paul said, yes, I can do all things. I can. But I do it through the power of his strength into me. The Phillips translation puts it this way. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Williams' translation says, I have power for all things through him who puts a dynamo in me. The word strength is derived from the Greek word, from where we get our English word dynamite or dynamo. Now, I don't want God to put dynamite in me. And too many people have these dynamite experiences. You know what dynamite does, don't you? It makes a lot of noise. It stirs up a lot of dust, and then it's gone, and you don't hear it anymore. How many of us have had experiences like that? There's this revival comes along, and there's this loud noise and the stirring of dust, and hands are up and hearts are full, and then it's all over. Now, Jesus gives us something better than dynamite. He gives us a dynamo. And my desire is for him to put his dynamo in me. That is, that continual source of power and energy in my life. And the reason that Paul was able to live the way he did was because Jesus had literally poured this power into his life. And the source of Paul's power was Christ himself. Now watch. Listen. The power of Christ himself that was available to Paul, available to me, to you, to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and to you. Now, if Paul's power came from his education, he was a very educated man, or his ability came from his knowledge, then we'd be looking at a life that would be like looking through a Cabela's hunting catalog, nothing more than a wish book. And a lot of people look at the Bible as a wish book. I wish I could have this. I wish I could do this. I wish I could be that. I wish I could experience that. Now, if the Apostle Paul's power and his supernatural ability to cope with life simply came from himself, he'd be a super saint walking around with a big S on his chest. But when Paul comes along and he declares that the source of his power is the Lord Jesus Christ, who resides in him, that means the same power that was available to him is available to me and to you. And I can be like Paul and you can be like Paul because we have the same Christ living in us who lived in Paul. Why? Because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the same Jesus that put the dynamo behind his light is the same Jesus who lives in me. Last thing, the supply of this power. Through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. The word strengthen is a participle. Here's what that means. It's always happening. It's like Iguazu Falls or Niagara Falls. It just keeps flowing. It never stops. You may not be aware of it, but this strength, it's always pouring into you. So Paul is saying, I am ready to do anything because Jesus Christ is constantly, consistently pouring his power into me. And every Christian has this latent power laying there ready to be used. I mean, you come home from the job. You're really tired. You just want to chill out. All of a sudden you hear a knock on the door and you go and there's your neighbor. And you can tell by the tone of his voice and the look in his eye that you really need to minister to him. You need to witness him to him. And you can call on that power. Now, throughout the day, even though you weren't aware of it, there was this latent power of the Lord Jesus Christ moving in you. It's there, constantly, continually being poured, ready to be released at any time. And you may not have a feeling of power, but the fact is this, folks. If you're a Christ follower, the Jesus Christ who resides in you is constantly boring power into your life. So that at any moment, any given time, when the will of God calls on you to do something, that given power is available. All you have to do is let it be released through you. And the supply, the power is continuous. So Paul can say, you can say, I am ready for anything. Wouldn't it be great if in our churches, when the committee on committees or the pastor or the staff came to somebody and talked to them about a position to fill in the church or a class, they looked at them and said, great, I'm ready for anything. What is it? So let me ask you, Bill. Are you ready for anything the will of God lays upon your heart? I can answer that. Of course you are. Because if you are saved, Jesus Christ is constantly pouring his power into your life. I can do how many things? All things. Through who? Christ, who strengthens, constantly pouring that power into my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I believe with all my heart, soul, and spirit, the gospel demands a response. Whether I'm preaching to a church of 1,500 or I'm preaching to a church of 40, the gospel demands a response. Some of you may be here, and I don't know, but you don't have that power in your life, constantly flowing in your life, because you have no life. You don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And the best thing you could do this morning would be to come in just a moment when I'm done praying down here where I am and just say, I need Jesus. Or just look at me. You don't have to say anything. I know the questions to ask. And some of you may need to do that. Some of you may need to come and say, man, I haven't been letting the power of Jesus work in my life, but I want to do that. And not just say it from your seat. Saying it from your seat's easy because it's only you and God. But maybe you need to put a little meat to your feet and walk down and kneel at these steps or come to me and let me pray with you and just say, boy, I want to be that kind of spirit-filled believer who is adequate in any circumstance, any situation. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This is a great place. Got good people. Ask God what he wants you to do. God, what do you want me to do? And whatever he tells you to do this morning, would you do it? Father, I come today, and I thank you for the opportunity to share your word, to preach. Father, I pray for those that are here who need to respond to you. Father, whether it's to come to know you in a personal way, whether it's to let you take control and fill their life, whether it's to join this church, whether it's just to, Father, just to share some issues with you or to have a pastor pray for them, whatever it is. Father, I pray that you move upon them right now. Your spirit would touch them. You would draw them. It's in your name we pray.